Today on Better Call Sexton, we got catfish, we got football, we got contempt and people getting arrested. We got all kinds of, no, it's not a party down south. It's Better Call Sexton and it's a full docket. You better stick around to check it out. But before we begin, remember to hit the subscribe button. We are so close to 100,000, ladies and gentlemen, and we can't wait to have that plaque behind us. So make it happen and let's get after it. All right, Jim, we start with the only lawyer maybe more viral than you right now is Rob Hopkins, a transgender lawyer who got was held in contempt after basically having a meltdown in the courtroom. His client didn't show up. The judge was saying we can't go forward. He was arguing that, you know, he traveled 2.5 hours to get here.
I like that you're using the correct pronoun, by the way.
Well, you know,
this is like we are a respectful show. I like that.
And they ended up basically fighting in the courtroom. And this is
gotten... a little upset, I'll be honest, when a trans male has a better beard than me.
Great beard. I mean, when I first saw this,
and, like, mine does not come in like that.
No.
Like, I gotta,
I thought it was just a lawyer, like, no, fighting, and that's why it went viral. And then there was the trans part of it. I said,
I was like, look at this.
This guy looks great.
I know, I'm telling you.
So we are pausing this until you get the ADA request form filled out and it gets processed.
So we're going to pause the hearing on jurisdiction that's been set twice. I drove 1.5 hours to have the hearing. My client's available telephonically and we are simply not even taking testimony.
Is your client available telephonically?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And you're ready.
He will answer.
Don't shoot at me. It's
still for me.
Or shout at me.
I'm not putting him.
No, we're stopping.
Why?
Settle down. Do not grab me. Do not grab me. What are you doing?
There's a lot of drama here.
What are you doing? You're hurting me. You're hurting me.
It's not really, these guys don't have good ground game.
No, I was going to say the Brazilian jiu-jitsu expert in you is...
They have not trained. You can watch instantly and know if somebody's trained.
All right, so this is the big viral clip.
If you can yell, I can't breathe that loud, you can breathe.
You can breathe.
That's the nature of how an airway works. Like, yes, but yeah, there's so much going on in there.
A lot.
You know, the sort of bewilderment of the attorney about, like, put your hands behind your back. Why? There's really only one reason why law enforcement ever put your hands behind your back. They're like, because I didn't say Simon Says. Like, no, guys, like, we're... You're being arrested, like, and you should probably comply. Doing the, well, wait a minute, I need my phone. You don't need your phone to get arrested. You can just get arrested. They're going to take it anyway. But yeah, the officers, we got to, if they're not in New York, but if they were, we would offer them some free Brazilian jiu-jitsu training. This is why law enforcement needs to know how to train in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, because you need to know how to subdue someone, how to put them in a pain compliance position, make them do what it is you need them to do. Don't talk to them about what you need them to do. Make them do it.
I'd imagine, though, this is not something that happens often.
I've been practicing 25 years actively in courts. I've seen, 10, 15 people taken into custody, not attorneys. I've seen two attorneys taken into custody in contempt of court, but it was never like forcibly. Like, it was always, I had a colleague get punched in the face once by a litigant walking out of a courtroom. As a joke, I actually sent him a mouth guard, an Everlast mouth guard, the next day in the mail.
How bad do you wish that would happen to you one day? Just to flex
God,
the skills?
I itch for it so bad.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, I'm constantly like, why does that never happen to me?
Why not, like, me?
I have just so many times just thought, like, oh, just take a swing. Just take one f***ing swing. But I did once say to the officers, I think I mentioned this before. This is a case where the guy had beaten up a dog, a puppy.
Yeah.
And I'd watched him do it on video. And I said to the officers, by the way, if I ended up in the restroom at the same time as this guy and there's a physical altercation, he started it. And they were like, oh, yeah, definitely he started it. We saw him charge into the restroom looking very angry. I was like, exactly.
My man, yeah.
But yeah, no, it's never happened yet. I think I think it'd be it's one of those things that sometimes I'm kind of itching for.
Yeah, I mean, talk about viral. If we get the court footage of Jim Sexton doing BJJ in the courtroom.
Yeah, I know. It'd be a lot of fun. Two great things that go great together.
Let's make it three.
Jiu-jitsu in courtroom.
If this ever happens, while you're beating this guy up in the courtroom, spit some rap lyrics.
Okay.
And it's all three of your things.
Oh my God, that'd be amazing. I got his arm down. I'm like, I got 7 Mac 11s, about 8 38s, 90. Oh, that'd be amazing.
Yeah. Smash that button.
Yeah.
I just look like a world star.
Let
me ask you, when they say you are in contempt of court, does that just mean you're pissing the judge off and we're going to.
No, contempt of court is a charge. It's a criminal charge, essentially, to be held in contempt of court. I've been threatened with contempt.
I bet you.
So I've been told, you know, if you do that again, I'm going to hold you in contempt, or Mr. Sexton, watch, tread lightly, or I'll hold you in contempt. A contempt citation is essentially like it's the judge's authority to say that you're defying the authority of the court. As a litigant, that happens a lot where someone is held in contempt. It rarely happens to lawyers. Lawyers are frequently threatened with being held in contempt. You know, if you make another frivolous objection, I'm going to sanction you and hold you in contempt of court, or I'm going to consider a contempt citation. It's the judicial equivalent of when your parents are like, do I have to take off my belt? You know, or I'm going to turn this courtroom around and take you right home. You know, it really is like the quasi-judicial ability to flex a little bit. But, you know, I watch a video like this. All I can think is this is an attorney. This is an officer of the court. The fact that they're behaving in this manner is shocking. All of the, you're in my face. He was nowhere near this person's face. His hands are in his pockets, which is the most defensive posture you can imagine. Like, no one can imagine you're going to hit them to get your hands. If someone's like this, your hands are like this, then their hands are a little more free to be able to. But, you know, you just don't. You have your hands in your pockets. Like, it's a defensive position. It's not something that you're going to be striking somebody. I just felt like the I can't breathe thing. At one point, he accuses her and says, this is because I'm trans.
You requested a female officer during the arrest.
That was kind of confused, I thought, because he's being arrested by two men. And then he says, I would request a female officer. And it was like, well, wait a minute. You kind of have to pick a lane here in terms of, like, you know, you're being addressed with the correct pronouns and you're being regarded, you know, by your gender that you identify as. And now you're going to swap that out. Like, that feels sort of arbitrary. I think in a courtroom, you know, the whole idea of like blaming the fact that, oh, this person, you're doing this because I'm trans. Like, I got to tell you, like, I, as a cisgender white heterosexual male, I've driven 2-3 hours to get to a courthouse to be told, yeah, we're not doing the hearing today. Oof. Or to get there and be told, oh, we're going to start this afternoon instead of this morning. It happens all the time, sometimes for good reasons, you know, that there's an emergency in the courthouse that requires the judge's attention. Sometimes it's ridiculous reasons. Like, I had a case, there was a judge who'll remain nameless who had 20 cases on their calendar in the morning, which is not an inordinate number, but started the calendar about an hour and a half late. So you've got 20 cases where you have 20 litigants, 20 attorneys. That's 40 attorneys billing their hourly rate. And he started court late that day because he went to the retirement breakfast they were having in one of the jury rooms for a retiring court employee. So 40 lawyers were getting paid a colossal amount of money by litigants, people just like you, so a judge could eat a bagel and take his time eating a bagel. And then, instead of sending out a bulk email and saying, if you have cases on in Judge Smith's calendar at 9 a.m., it'll be beginning at 10:30 a.m. And we all could have done other things. You know, we all as lawyers like have, you know, I'll bring other work. I'll walk around and talk to other lawyers so I can bill on another case, so that if I'm waiting for an hour and a half in a courtroom, I don't have to bill that full hour and a half to this client. I can try to save them a couple of bucks by working on some other things or bringing my laptop. But I have to tell you, it's a really, you know, just saying like, well, Your Honor, this is really an inconvenience. Judges don't fucking care if they're inconveniencing you. It's your job. And by the way, you're also being paid by the hour. So, I mean, theoretically, if you make me wait 2 hours because you want to eat a bagel, like, you just gave me $2,000 for sitting around. That, you're welcome. I don't know. Thank you. Like, that's a lovely thing to have given me. I appreciate it. It's unfortunate that someone has to bear the expense of that, but it's not my fault, you know. But this is one of those cases that, yeah, it goes viral. I think this judge was exceedingly patient.
Yeah,
I've seen judges that are far less patient than that. Some judges, you might find this hard to believe, do not find the whole Jim Sexton show amusing at all.
No.
There are some who get a kick out of it and they'll really let me go. And there are some that I know like, nope, you're getting a very inherit the wind Gregory Peck version of me. You're getting a very just the facts, just the law, because there are some judges that have absolutely no patience for the show. They will not like or subscribe. They are not.
I'll tell you what, man, if I was on the other side of my divorce, if you were going against me instead of for me, I would
hate you,
it's not
Jim.
Fun, man. Oh man, yeah, it's not fun. I hate me too.
Yeah,
I hate me too.
I would not. You know you're doing a good job.
I would not want the person to hire me against me.
Right.
But I will tell you, I prepare like a younger, smarter, faster version of me is on the other side. That's the only way to succeed is to just Amen. Prepare. A guy I used to train with in jiu-jitsu used to say to me, "You should train like a younger, smarter, tougher version of you is coming at you." So.
That's good advice for absolutely everything in life, right?
Everything.
Next up, we have a massive scam going on in the NFL and NBA where dozens of players got catfished by Quamaine Jarrell Ford.
Quamaine
Jarrell Ford. This picture.
Nice Irish boy.
Look at this guy. Oh. So he posed.
Wait a minute, that's Tyler the Creator.
Exactly, right? So he posed as the infamous Tiana Trump, a very famous adult star.
I actually had no idea who that is.
Oh, she is.
When you said the infamous Tiana Trump, I was like, is she related to Donald Trump? There's another one?
She is quite talented.
She's talented, okay.
And
meaning
quite
her acting chops.
Yeah.
That's lovely.
And she's very popular amongst the NBA.
I like that
and
I get to see
NFL.
A picture of Tiana and not, I only see, who is this?
So this is the porn star, Tiana Trump.
You just got to blow that up a little bit. Sorry, yeah, I can't see it.
Let me go.
That's not.
So she has.
She seems like a lovely young lady.
And she is now actually in a relationship with a soccer player, like a professional soccer player.
Sure.
And if you're
ball handling skills.
If you put it this way, if you are looking,
I got a million of these. Yeah.
let him cook.
Yeah.
Let him cook.
Sorry.
If you are trying to scam the NFL and the NBA, she would be the wise choice.
She'd be the bait.
Yes.
She would be the bait.
And they catfished for all of your bank account info and credit cards and iCloud accounts.
This is the difference, by the way, between like, because I've represented some athletes, quite a few actually, and I think the number of women sliding into their DMs is shocking.
Unfathomable,
like it's
right?
It's not a number you or I. I've represented so many of them when I get, like I finish the divorce or I finish whatever, and they'll reach out to me regularly and be like, listen, this girl's saying she's pregnant. What do I do? And it's always like, I met her in Miami. It's always Miami. And it's, you know, and we had one night and then she said she was on protection. I'm just listening. I'm like, do you hear yourself right now? Like, this is what happens when you devote your entire life to like one purpose. And that is getting really good at a particular sport to the exclusion of everything. Like, you're not reading Jane Eyre. Like, you're focusing on this. So you kind of want to say to them, like, you believe that? And you thought that was a fine idea? And, you know. And it's always amazing. Whereas like a normal human being, you know, even with some level of celebrity, like if some porn star slid into my DMs, was like, Jim, I just want you to know what a fan, I would never believe it was them. I would be like, there's no way this is some dude in India. Like,
I don't know, Jim.
Happening.
You're getting, your star is rising, man.
Not NFL player rising. That's not what it is. And I really find it hard to believe that a adult film actress would be like, you know what? I want some of that. That's what I'm signing up for. Like, athletes, I get it. You know what I mean? They're like in peak physical condition. I mean, if you're looking for someone to just, you know, kind of run around with or have fun with, I'd imagine there's no better choice than that. So,
by the way, it looks like Nicolas Pepe, who is the footballer who is dating Tiana Trump, is prepared to move forward. And it sounds like they're going to get married this summer. And that she has officially retired from the game. So, you know, classic love story. Boy meets porn star. Star retires. Get married in the summer.
Hey, listen, everyone's happy. I will tell you something. I have actually done some prenups. And I've done some, you know, I've had child support cases and clients who were either OnlyFans models or were adult film actresses. I have a number of friends that are in the adult film business. And I don't know that there's anything about that business that's any different than any other business. We are all selling parts of ourselves. We are all suffering various indignities in our profession that, you know, you might not do for free. And there are some parts of your job that you like and you go, you know what, I would probably do this for free anyway. I'm not suggesting that, you know, I've been criticized for my view on sex work, but I genuinely just don't see. And again, anybody has the right to feel whatever they want to feel. If you're someone who's like, oh, I only want to marry a virgin. Okay, like knock yourself out, male or female. If that's how you feel, go ahead. If you say, look, I don't care. I want someone who I connect with. And if they have a tremendous past or that past is documented on film, it doesn't really matter to me. Good. Knock yourself out. Like, what does it matter? We all have pasts. And, you know, you hopefully find a woman who's going to look at your past and go, yeah, all right. You know, look, you were who you were. And same thing for men. I don't think it's really any different. I know, yes, Mike Sartain is watching this and his blood pressure is going up right now. I have a couple of friends that have a very different view of that, and they will cite evolutionary biology studies that will support the contention that a person's going to be less successful if they've had a high body count, particularly a woman. I just don't know. I don't know that I can follow that. I don't know that it really matters. I'm cheering for people when they find each other. I think he's a soccer player. He probably wasn't a virgin. She's an adult film actress. Okay. I mean, which would you rather have? I don't know. Someone who voluntarily, just for the love of the game, slept with a whole bunch of people.
Point.
Or someone who was like, yeah, I did this for
a
living. This was my profession. Like, you know, if you've ever like talked to or listened to, there's a great Lad Bible stories. I did a segment for them called The Honesty Box. You can find it. Really fun segment. But they did one with a porn director. And it was brilliant to watch because it really was him talking about, like, look, this, you understand, this is like technical issues. Like, we're thinking about lighting.
Yeah.
We're thinking about what position looks right. And by the way, in the middle of sex, try stopping and go, okay, we have to move the lights and we have to reposition and we have to get this camera over there. Like, are you kidding me? Like, are you kidding me? Like, if I hear a noise in the other room, I'm distracted. Like, can you imagine? Like, if the dog is looking at you, you kind of are like, dude, what are
Isn't
you doing?
That the
you
worst?
Like, what are you doing? Or you could be like, you know, let the boy watch, you know, like, I don't, you know, but I do think that there is, that is a profession. Like, that is a thing that not everybody could do, probably. I don't, I'm telling you right now, I do not think that with lighting and camera people all standing around, that I think my penis would be like, nah, I'm good. I'm tapping out. I'm not doing this. This is, seems really extreme. So,
and I'll tell you, I think there is a difference because out of everyone I've worked with, athletes, entertainers, singers, whatever, any of the adult stars are the nicest, most down to earth, great conversation. Like, truly, some of my favorite people I've met in the business.
There is a non-judgmental nature to that. I think that they're often people that have met and interacted with a wide variety of people. They also, I think, in the business end of that, there are a lot of very distrustful and untrustworthy people. And so they have a world sort of weariness and sort of, you know, a skepticism that I actually think, you know, shows like a certain, if you are on their side, if you are someone who is loyal to them, if you're someone that they can trust, they respect that. They know what it's like to have people try to take advantage of you. So, yeah, I find that every profession, I was just having this conversation with a friend. We were talking about, I was talking about representing actors and how I found representing actors was challenging because a lot of actors are drawn to acting because they don't have a very defined sense of self, and they enjoy putting on the skin of another person and sort of not having to be themselves and be this other person. And a lot of times it causes them to not look at the parts of themselves they need to look at because they're inhabiting these other personalities all the time. And I think every profession, there's some aspects of that, including my own. I think including being a lawyer, like I get to put myself in the head of other people's and their stories and their, you know, it works my empathy and sympathy muscles in ways and weaponizes my ability to empathize sometimes. But I think it will often create a paralysis where I can see both sides of almost everything. And sometimes it's better to not be able to see both sides and to be very convicted, you know, toward one position. So,
all right, we have more drama from the Mormon wives. This time it's not.
How could there be more drama from the Mormon wives?
It's never ending, brother. This one is Jessie Draper. So not the Bachelorette, a different girl.
Hello, my name is Elder Draper.
She went on Call Her Daddy, your favorite show.
Oh, my I love that show.
It's your favorite show.
I saw that show.
Call Her Daddy. Yeah. And she was talking about how her fiance had escorts and orgies, and also
wait, Somebody went on Call Her Daddy with entirely too much makeup and Botox and talked about how a guy did her wrong.
No.
Crazy. They are really branching out on that show.
But in addition to the G's and the escorts, she also discussed her ex trying to blackmail her for some of her transgressions.
Are you going to be like Taylor? Should I call the cops? He was blackmailing me with the Marciano texts, and he had them on a draft on his phone on TikTok. And anytime he was mad at me, he's like, I'm going to post them. I'm going to ruin your life. So we were fighting over this Pilates stuff, and he was like, I'm gonna post the TikToks. And so I went to go grab his phone. I was like, Jordan, no, like at this point, no one knew about what I had done. And I was like, you're going to ruin my life, like blah, blah, blah. And my business too. Like I employ 50 people. Like this could ruin everything.
She's just trying to protect those people.
And he goes, so he's like, okay. And I'm freaking out. So I'm like trying to get his phone. I'm like kind of chasing him, trying to get it.
Kind of.
He pulls out his phone, starts recording me. And he's like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to be like Taylor? Should I call the cops?
So this, by the way, she had a emotional affair. That's what she's talking about. So yeah. Text messages where she was just talking. Yeah. In
she
love
was like,
with
just
man.
Like having like I thought she yeah. was talking to this person. And then like I just like sort of went to grab him, and I just sort of like went to grab the phone, and I was like, okay, because he was like behaving in a manner that made me feel very unsafe. So I was like chasing him from room to room, and then was just gonna grab his phone.
It
like
really
I
does match.
Fucking love that.
That's
love
perfect.
That. Love.
But I would imagine the idea of blackmailing with texts or going
imagine
public.
A dude being like, you know, like, yeah. So she like had the phone, and I was like, I'm getting that phone. And I went after her. I just went to
I'm
grab
just
it.
Chasing her a
I
little
was
bit.
Like, yeah.
I just
like
throw her down the stairs a little.
I just went to grab it just a little bit, you know, and just was like, you know, you'd be like, yeah, it's
just a couple one, two
man.
Punches, you know,
no
big deal.
I kind of like grabbed it a few times and was like, you know, but look, I got like 50 people work for me. You know what I mean? I got to do something with this. She's sort of threatening me. We were fighting about the Pilates thing, you know, like. I don't know. I don't know why I made him Italian. Yeah, I love this kind of narrative. Like clients do this one to me all the time. Like they'll like my client will come in and say, usually a woman will come in and be like, yeah, so like I just, you know, he was doing this. And then like, so I grabbed it and I was like, I'm sorry, wait, you'd put your hands on him? Well, you like, yeah, like on his hand and on his arm and like maybe the phone. I'm like, okay, so like you put your hands on his body and forcibly pulled away the... Well, I wouldn't say it was forcibly. Well, did you use force to do it or did you use telepathy? You know, and she's like, well, you know, I guess I took it. I'm like, okay, so you grabbed him, restrained him, and then you pulled him. And they sort of are like, well, no, but it's not like that. Like suddenly there is suddenly a gender binary.
Right.
Like it's like, well, I'm like, he's like so much bigger than me. And I'm like, okay, well, that doesn't really mean that you couldn't assault him or physically intimidate him or, you know, anything along those lines. Like Bruce Lee was smaller than me. I'm 6'2". He wasn't. Like, I think he probably could have kicked my ass. So I think this is unfortunately typical. What I think is even more humorous, though, is the way that this narrative gets framed. It just keeps getting put back up there as like, yeah, so then I was forced to do this thing. And I just don't know. The emotional affair thing is also always very shocking to me. You know, what she's essentially suggesting is that if she was worried that something would impact her career, that's an appropriate basis for her to attempt to use physical force to stop a person from disseminating that information. I don't really follow that.
Do you think that the, in general, though, the idea of like blackmailing to go public is...
Well, blackmail has a specific legal definition. Like, okay. So the idea that you're going to disseminate information that you have no right to disseminate for no legitimate purpose, but to harass, annoy, alarm, or intimidate another human being, and that you're saying, I will only refrain from doing so if given whatever remuneration, or if you refrain from doing a thing you have the right to do, that's different than saying, I'm going to do this thing you wouldn't like unless you do this thing I want you to do. And then the other person saying, well, no, I don't want you to do that thing. Like that, you know, people throw around words like harassment, blackmail, eavesdropping, as if they don't have a legal definition, assault.
Mm-hmm.
These all have a definition. Like there is a legal definition for those words. And so to use those words, like if I say breasts, I don't mean my elbow. It has an elbow as a definition, breasts has a definition. So the same is true for anatomical terms, same is true for legal terms. Like there is a legal definition. You look at any statute in any of the 50 states, the first section of each statutory, so the vehicle and traffic law, the estates, trusts, and powers law, the domestic relations law, The first section of all legislative stuff is the definitions section. So it will say, for the purposes of the interpretation and enforcement of this statute, the term person shall be defined as, the term, you know, excessive shall be defined as, the term harassment shall be defined as, and then it defines those specific, because we think in generalities, but we live in details. The problem is, everybody gets up on the internet now and is like, I was assaulted, or I was, you know, recently a friend of mine, Andrew Wilson, I've talked about before, host of The Crucible, an individual basically accused him of the worst form of sexual assault possible, not saying that it happened to her, but just saying, oh, he does this to people. And what she actually meant when you drilled it down was that she was alleging that he's like nasty to women who are just over the age of 18, not sexually, not physically, but like he debates against them knowing that they're less qualified than him. And he basically put up a response video, which you can find on YouTube, where he said, like, wait a minute, you accused me of a thing that has a legal definition. And now I believe he's actually commencing a lawsuit against her, because wow, you cannot throw around these kinds of serious accusations, which are slander per se. Like, it is such slander and slander per se. Slander per se is something that under all circumstances, accusing a person of it, unless it is true, because truth is an absolute defense to slander, is like saying someone has a loathsome disease, saying that someone, like, these are, saying someone is a pedophile is an example of slander per se. Like, it is, that it will automatically hold this person up to personal and professional scorn. So you got to be careful throwing around these terms all day long, especially when you do it in this voice. Because it sounds less serious, but it's like still pretty serious.
All right. The only show that could maybe go toe to toe with the Mormon Wives drama right now is Summer House, a Bravo reality show, where the main star and producer, Kyle Cook, and his wife, Amanda, have been together for like 10 years. They finally separated this year. And what
in reality show terms, by the way, 10 years is like 100 years.
I mean, they had the most successful relationship of all time.
That's the most successful reality show relationship.
It was 10 years of fighting and screaming and misery.
Sure.
And it all came to a head this last episode where Kyle was drunk and fighting.
That's what you're right. I'm only hanging out with the strangers because you literally ignore me.
Nope. No, that's not what you just said.
She doesn't sound sober either.
I'm letting you know how it is.
Okay. And the friends are like, I think I got to get involved. And then this is the big moment here.
You dumbass bitch.
And that did not go over well in the Bravo world. This guy is getting pilloried, as you'd say. But he is, I gotta give him a little credit. He's like the main producer on the show, and he left it all in, and he came out and apologized. Andy Cohen said, this is the worst you have ever looked, which is, you know, saying when you have 10 years of drinking and partying on the TV, and you have your rock bottom moment, it's pretty bad. But
I mean, listen, I'm not condoning using profanity against another person, but if your rock bottom moment in life is calling someone a discourteous, uncouth name, you're doing all right in the scheme of things. You know what I mean? Like, there are worse people out there than you. Any conversation between a couple other than like a friendly, fun, silly one. So any kind of argument or serious discussion that is done when your voice sounds like this is probably a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Like, it's probably a terrible idea. Like, one sentence into that, and maybe this is being an adult child of an alcoholic, this is like triggering stuff for me. But like, adult child, like when I was a kid, I could tell within one syllable if my father was drinking, mm-hmm. like instantly, like just one word, that's it. You know,
and did you know that he was drunk, or just that something was wrong?
He was drinking. Like, no, I knew he was
drinking. No, but you were old enough to understand
how drunk
that
he was.
Drinking.
I mean, he was a cutty sark in a coffee mug kind of a drunk. So,
right.
But I mean, you could just tell, okay, he's been drinking like instantly. And by the way, it's why I think actually adult children of alcoholics end up being very good at a lot of their professional lives, because we're hypersensitive and hypervigilant. We notice everything. Because part of that experience of growing up in an alcoholic household is you're constantly watching, you're constantly trying to pay attention, like what's going on, because the chaos that alcoholism brings into a home. And so it can become a superpower of sorts, and it certainly served me very well. But what I will say is whenever I hear people talking in that state, And I often have to now because there's a lot of evidence that gets, you know, picked up on Ring cams and nanny cams or people's iPhones. And you hear that someone's intoxicated. You know, it's a terrible look. And it's also like we're just, you know, people when they voluntary intoxication is not a defense to any crime. It's just not a defense. So to say, well, I was drunk, that's why I did that. It's not. It's voluntary intoxication is not a legal defense. So I just generally encourage people, like, do not try to engage your spouse when they've been drinking. Like, this was a conversation that could have waited till the next day. You can say to this person, I'm not engaging with you right now. And so it's very hard to fight with someone who won't fight with you. It's very hard to pick a fight with someone who won't fight with you. If someone wants to fight with you and you just walk away from them and you just say, like, you know what, I'm not doing this with you right now, and you walk away, it's a much better approach than trying to reason with, argue with, negotiate with someone who's intoxicated. You're putting yourself in harm's way. And you're, you know, this is a situation where I'm sure this guy feels a tremendous amount of regret for what he has done, how foolish it makes him look. Rightfully, he had some public scorn as a result of this. I think I have very little sympathy for people who, you know, become voluntarily intoxicated and then let the angel of their worst nature come out, but maybe that's the punishment that that will cause him to reconsider his behavior like this in the future. That's going to do it for today's Better Call Sexton. Remember to like, subscribe. We are so close to 100,000 subscribers, and this is your chance to be part of history and making that happen. I mean, we're kind of being hyperbolic saying history, but it is your chance to make it happen. Please like, subscribe, hit the notification bell. Really does help the channel. Check us out at NYC Divorce Lawyer on Instagram. Close to 500,000 followers. This could be a very big month for the show, gang. Help us make it happen. But for now, we're adjourned.